Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Everyone has hot takes on sports.
Under pressure, yes, Kawhi is better than Kobe was.
Wait. What?
But sometimes we have to peel back the curtains and find out what kind of hot takes the Killer Bees have outside the world of sports.
Bananas are trash.
People don't actually like LaCroix.
Okay, surprising opinion.
It's time for Weird Take Wednesday on the Killer Bees.
As you know by now, ESPN 97.5 is your home for the best draft coverage in the city. The Wheelhouse is going to have some feet on the ground in Kansas City. They'll be there live for the draft. And then us locally, we'll be partying live at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage on the Southwest Freeway from 6 to 11 a week from tomorrow. Cannot wait. Neither should you. You have the opportunity to win a 75-inch TV. When you get to our draft party, you have to be present. Make sure you sign up for our mock draft contest. You can qualify to win a 75-inch TV, courtesy of Audiovisual Consultations. Our entire NFL draft coverage is presented by 1800 Tequila, the official tequila of the Houston Texans. So you can be winning a 75-inch TV. Come hang out with us at Valencia's a week from tomorrow. Cannot wait for the NFL draft. All right, Joe George. What do we got on Weird Take Wednesday, on this fine Wednesday?
All right, I got two things for today. The first is, this isn't necessarily a take. It's a weird decision that I don't understand. Maybe it's just laziness within the television and movie community.
Yeah.
But why are we redoing everything? Why is Jack Harlow the new lead character in a redo of White Man Can't Jump?
Is he really?
Why are they redoing?
Who's playing the his?
I don't remember.
His
actually.
Teammate
Wesley Snipes.
I don't know who's playing
Wesley
the character.
Snipes who is playing Wesley
no,
Snipes.
Who is playing the character played by Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, that's how. Let's say it that way.
Why are they redoing Harry Potter?
Why did anybody watch the first one?
Exactly.
Oh, lame. All my, guys are lame.
My wife and my
you
children
like Harry Potter,
Harry
Joe?
Potter.
Of course, I like.
I don't
Harry
like
Potter.
Fiction.
Oh, Stumpy.
Of course, I'm not surprised you don't like fiction. Like,
what are you doing?
Like things that Jeremy Branham doesn't like. Like the big board on what's the game? Family Feud.
Well, I like that.
No, but like fiction would be the first choice.
I don't dislike fiction. It's just
I do.
The moment
okay,
something is unbelievable just, to me, I'm out.
Oh, like, see,
if you
I'm
had
like
dragons,
it,
and birds,
I think I'm with him on that. I think it's rare, but I'm with him on that.
Wow,
I think that's exactly right.
I can watch fiction if it's like realistic. If it's a you know, let's just like Secession. That's a fictional story, but it's realistic. So
or
I'm all in on that.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah,
I can. I'm cool with fiction, but the moment that it's not realistic, I lose my interest and completely out.
Is Succession really that good?
I love it.
People are saying like it's up there with like Breaking Bad.
Succession
Thrones.
Or Will Levis?
Succession, no doubt.
Okay,
I
really?
Love that show.
Is that good?
Plus, it has to be that good.
I'm about to start it because I've heard
Succession's good. Apparently, it's loosely based on Rupert Murdoch. I didn't know that until recently.
It's based on like 3 or 4 different like major
families.
Like,
you see the hit they took yesterday?
The Murdochs? In terms of the market?
Fox?
I wouldn't pay attention.
$787 million lawsuit they lost. And there's
really?
two more of the same amount
Yikes.
Sitting there.
Man.
I don't care how rich you are.
I need to get in that business.
That's gonna leave a mark.
I need to get into the business where I'm getting sued for $787 million.
Yeah, I just don't get why, we have to redo everything.
I'm not a...
Well,
you know why they're doing it.
Yeah, because people are lazy and they know people are going to buy it.
And it's going to sell.
Like, come up with new ideas, people.
Right,
but
the audience they're playing to, the majority of them never saw White Man Jump the original.
Yeah, but it's all over.
The White Man cannot jump.
Tell Mac McClung that.
Matt McClung should be in the movie.
He should be, because he's not playing in the NBA, because he's not an NBA player.
I feel
he's
like
a
you,
dude that dunks
you've
well.
You've been really validated by that take.
Yeah, I was not too
pleased with that. Because I haven't seen Matt McClung a single second
I'm out
the
on
rest of the NBA
either.
Season.
I haven't seen him in the G League.
Well, it's over.
Is it?
Yeah. The champ.
There you go.
You want what? What are you watching? G League basketball?
Rio Grande was in the championship.
Like, you're like,
with
I'm not gonna
Washington.
Watch, I'm not going to watch fictional movies, but I watch G League basketball.
Did I say I watched the whole game? No.
Not the whole game.
But I knew that the Vipers were in the G League championship series.
That's a weird way to admit that you do watch G League basketball.
I don't run from the fact that I'm a basketball. You know that.
I know, but it's just like, we had an argument, not an argument with us, with the Twitchers about their Roughnecks and like their value, and it's anti-minor league sports.
I did?
No, it was more me.
It was it was not me.
I'm out on minor league sports. Give me Secession. I've been watching Better Call Saul recently. I just started the Netflix episode of the Netflix show Beef. Pretty good. I've only seen the first episode, but I'm hooked. I'll be finishing that one. Give me that stuff before I watch G League basketball, AAA baseball.
No, I just watched
USFL, XFL.
I just watched the latest Manhunt documentary they put out on Netflix, the one about the Boston Marathon bombing.
I watched that too.
It's really good.
It was pretty good. I remember I was doing updates on the network during that whole thing. It was bizarre.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really weird time. I'm with you, though. I'm out on remakes.
Too much.
You know what also I don't like is whenever the whenever you have the what is it called? The spinoffs. I'm not a huge fan of spinoffs either. Like, the spinoffs are usually not very good.
I was just gonna ask the question.
That's a good point.
What spinoff or what remake was better than the original? I mean, it's a good question. It's a legit question, right?
I don't think there's many. My wife is watching How I Met Your Father. That show sucks compared to the original.
Yeah, that was brutal.
It's no good.
Frasier was a spinoff of Cheers, but Frasier wasn't as good as Cheers. I think Frasier's probably considered one of the best spinoffs ever. I know that's not for everybody.
That's the first one that came to my mind.
But it's not as good as Cheers.
No, not even close.
It's not as good as Cheers. Yeah, I don't know if there's been a lot. Some of the remakes probably that like remake some of the really old movies are probably better. Like, what was the one with Lady Gaga and that one dude from The Hangover?
Who, Matthew? No.
Star is Born.
That's how you recognize Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper.
From The Hangover?
Yeah.
Is that not how
Silver
you
Linings
recognize?
Playbook is one
I don't
of
know.
Them.
I
Silver
guess
Linings Playbook's good.
Silver Linings Playbook. Silver Linings Playbook, yeah.
How do you recognize Bradley Cooper?
I think I just put myself in a box because now I don't have an answer.
I know
that question.
Bradley Cooper from The Hangover. And better.
I'll tape up that box and take it to UPS, by the way, and get it out of here.
The Goonies and Grease are the two most overrated movies of all time.
Okay. Well, I don't think we said overrated. I'm trying to think if there was any. They remade The Longest Yard, it sucked.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
I mean, they remake a lot of old movies. I think just because a new generation didn't see the original doesn't mean it was going to be good.
See, even Better Call Saul is a great spinoff, but it's not as good as Breaking Bad. Like, they're doing all these spinoffs off Yellowstone.
Creed is a very, very popular movie in the Creed series. They ain't Rocky.
No. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think that there's been a spinoff. There's probably been some remakes that we're not thinking of that have been better.
The Jeffersons was a spinoff of All in the Family, and the Jeffersons might have been better.
Ooh, I didn't realize that was a spinoff.
Yeah.
The Jeffersons.
They were the neighbors of the Bunkers, and then they got their own show.
I used to watch my uncle, for some reason, would always watch the Jeffersons, like every single day. So I'd get home from elementary school and watch the Jeffersons, and then right after that, it was Sanford and Son. I would watch the Jeffersons and Sanfords all the time. It was so good. So good. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to Cameron. Cameron's got the best spinoff of all time. It better be good, Cameron. What is the best spinoff ever? You're in the Hive.
Yeah, best spinoff ever, man. It's Family Matters.
Huh.
Family Matters is a spinoff of Perfect Strangers. I don't know if you guys remember that show from the late 80s.
I didn't realize that was a spinoff.
I didn't either. And
I watched Family Matters a lot when I was a kid, too. Alongside Full House. I think Full House and Family Matters came on back to back. I remember I'd watch that hour block of television.
Full House was the Olsen twins?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Got it.
Weird response.
That's a weird House. One, too, because like, I don't know how you recognize like that. Like that's what they're known for.
The Olsen twins are definitely known for Full House.
That's all they're known for.
No, but like, but why you know Full House? Because like John Stamos is in it. Like there's way bigger names. Plus, they were like,
Bob Saget, who was very like starched, clean cut, and then if you saw his comedy show, you were like shocked.
But Michelle Tanner was the star of the show.
Who's Michelle Tanner?
The Olsen twins, the girl, the baby.
Yeah. Oh, she was. Yeah,
the hero of our story.
She, the character. That's completely true. Yep.
What else you got for Weird Take Wednesday?
Yeah, I just really didn't know because we kind of missed talking about this, so I've been figuring out like what segment it falls into. We'll put it on this one. So weird take, the need to tweet this, Anthony Bass. You guys saw this, obviously.
Popcorn.
So he said, the flight attendant at United just made my 22-week pregnant wife, traveling with a 5-year-old and 2-year-old, get on her hands and knees to pick up the popcorn mess by my youngest daughter. Are you kidding me? This is a weird take to tweet this. Like, why you, like...
I completely think that this is not the family's responsibility. I mean, I think that if you want to be a good person, I think if you want to be a good person, look, plenty of people drop plenty of crap during a flight on the, and just having been on a flight, there were people all around us that were dropping stuff that weren't like as concerned as my kids were about if they dropped something to get down there, pick it up, and to figure out what fell. But I think that if it's just like dried chips or popcorn, that's something the cleanup crew gets at the end of the flight. I don't think that they should be told or that they should be guilted into picking up the popcorn.
Least surprising thing I've heard all day.
Why?
My only issue is like, if it's like one or two pieces, it's fine. Like, it looked like a ballpark. Like, the whole bag was on the floor.
Bad.
There was popcorn everywhere. The problem that I had was more like him chastising them publicly. Like, this is to me is something that you play behind the scenes.
But this is the times we live in. Everybody puts everything on social media.
That's not true.
Oh, that it is true.
Because that's not true. You don't see the private stuff. That's why. You only see the stuff that is public.
Like, but I'm saying everybody puts that stuff out there.
Disagree.
They put whether they bought someone a meal, they put something if they gave someone a tip.
Not true at all.
They put it on. If any airline screws up their baggage or they're tagging them and they're blowing it up all over the place.
Because you see it.
Very common now.
Because you see it.
It is really common.
Because you see it. You're not seeing the private stuff. You're not seeing the normal, casual, like, decent conversation that two people that are disagreeing are having. You're not seeing somebody who does not want to be public about feeding a homeless man. Greatness that feels it has to be proclaimed amidst the doubts of his existence. Not everybody's doing that. There's no way of knowing the private stuff. It's like Ted Williams visiting the children's hospital in Boston. Like, no one knew he was doing that. So, yeah, they didn't know he was doing that.
But what did I say?
It's become
the norm. It's what everybody is doing. I'm not saying that there aren't still good stories and we don't see the rest of
the story in certain cases.
But we know that most people want to do this.
There's no way of knowing that because there's no way of being able to see what's public versus what is private because what is private is private.
No, I know, but I do feel like most like people with a blue check mark, which apparently you're going to lose tomorrow, Jeremy.
Oh, really?
I just saw that on Twitter. They use the blue check mark to... specifically airlines, to try to pull some sway here.
Yeah, they want that last-ditch effort to get a freebie, too.
I did very much enjoy, though, when he came into the game against the Astros.
So good.
And everyone's popcorn jokes were just great. It was like the only time everyone's making the same joke, and they were all very funny.
Yeah. Arbery says Better Call Saul is the best spinoff of all time, period.
I think that's probably the right answer.
Lou Daddy says that Frasier was better than Cheers, unpopular opinion.
It is
that unpopular. Humor's not for everybody. I get that. Somebody said that Young Sheldon's better than The Big Bang Theory. Again, probably not everybody's humor. I like Big Bang more than Young Sheldon.
I don't like that show
at all. Young Sheldon's very mid.
I like the fact that Ocean's 11 was better than the original. I'll go that route. I don't think I ever really saw the original, but I can tell you that Ocean's 11 was a good, very entertaining movie.
Simpsons was technically a spinoff of the Tracy Ullman show.
That would qualify as
best spinoff ever.
I'm looking at a list, and it has it as the number one spinoff of all time, and I didn't
realize that either.
I have never heard.
Tracy Ullman show had a good run, I think. I never watched it, but it was like a situational comedy. But it was very popular for a window of time.
Somebody said The Godfather 2. That's not a remake. That's a continuation.
Right.
Like, that's not, right. That's it's just 713-780-ESPN.
It's like the Star Wars whatever series.
Trilogy series. All right. That's Weird Take Wednesday. You have any other weird takes you want seen, send them to Blankers on Twitter. At Pac-Man Joel. Coming up next, making mock drafts great again. It's time for the Killer Bees to be on the hot seat here. We made fun of Cody Castuccio's mock draft yesterday. We're going to be doing our very own mock draft the next 3 days. Joe George today, Blankers tomorrow. I'll be doing it on Friday. So making mock drafts great again, Joe George edition next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey.
independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Before we take a look at Joe George's great, I'm sure, mock draft, let's take Lamont real quick. We were talking about spinoffs, and it's carried over into the break and on the text line. People saying that Breaking Bad is a spinoff off of Malcolm in the Middle is hilarious. Apparently, he did have that scene where he dreamt it. That's what the Twitch is saying. That's what Twitch is saying. All right, let's go out to the HRP listener line. Lamont, you're in the hive of the Killer Bees. What's up, Lamont?
Hey, man, I have a total of three. I have Scrooge as a spin-off, Bill Murray's Scrooge as a spinoff of The Christmas Carol. Then I also have Good Times, which is a spinoff of Maude, which is a spinoff of All in the Family. All in the Family spins off two shows.
That's true. That's good.
But Good Times. And my last one is, and this is a kind of tricky one, but Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings initially came out as a cartoon. It was a popular show back then, but Lord of the Rings. And that's all I have, fellas.
Appreciate it. Lamont's got great recall. Lamont remembers everything. Mm-hmm. I'm always amazed at his recall. I can't do Lord of the Rings either.
Oh, yeah, I know you're not going to believe this. I mean, I think the early returns, because of how much they butchered the end of Game of Thrones, that the spinoff House of Dragons could push it.
Did you watch that?
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I couldn't get into that. Mm-mm. I watched the final, the only season
of Game of Thrones,
that I watched.
How was
the final season?
How do you understand it?
There was like a recap.
Okay.
There was like a 30-minute recap to like get me caught up. And then the final season, according to everybody, I agree with them,
was awful.
Not good.
Look, when you're an HBO show and you're talking about dragons and magic and stuff, and you're so careless that a Starbucks cup gets left in one of the main scenes the last two seasons, disaster.
Yeah, that was bad.
Disaster.
Brutal, brutal mistake. All right, let's make mock drafts great again. Killer Bees are going to put our money where our mouth's at. Well, not necessarily our real money. Joe George is going to lead us off. Blankers will be tomorrow. I'll be on Friday. Our very own mock drafts. What you got for us, Joe George?
All right, so with the second pick, I have the Houston Texans selecting C.J. Stroud.
Who do you have going first?
First pick, Bryce Young. So how far? How do you want me to go through this? Just all of it?
Know. Yeah.
I was just going to give the Texans picks.
You might, but that's not built.
2 and 12, but then you got to give 13, 14, and 15 so we can make mock draft.
I was
going to
do 2, 12, and then the next three.
I'm curious what your mock looks like, though.
So I have Bryce Young going first.
Did you fill out 3 through 11, or did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, so you did your projections.
Yeah, I did my.
I want to hear your projections.
Okay. So I have Bryce Young going first.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud.
You don't want to hear his projections?
I mean, he did the work, so we can, but I'm not sure the listeners are on the same page.
Well,
as
we've been talking about everyone else's mock draft, so we got to put ourselves all right, you don't, in the
hot seat. Joe, I understand you're trying to be Lance in your next life. Go.
No,
you
I'm
don't
saying.
Think people have any, like, they don't want to hear who's going number 5 or how many quarterbacks go in the top 10 or who just went off the board to the Texans before the Texans at 11?
I think there's a good portion that don't, but let's play.
Well, I mean, it's NFL draft season.
I know. Let's go, Joe.
All right. Bryce Young 1, C.J. Stroud 2 to the Texans, Will Anderson 3. To the Arizona Cardinals, Anthony Richardson 4 to the Indianapolis Colts. Ooh. I'm going to do a little trade here.
Oh, you did a real trade?
Oh, you did trade?
I did a real trade.
Oh, I didn't know we were going to do trades.
I didn't know that either.
It's free. It's whatever you want to do.
I don't like doing trades in mocks.
Well, I do.
Okay.
I'm going to go for a big swing here. I'm going to go the Tampa Bay Buccaneers trade up to the 5th pick in the draft with the Seattle Seahawks, and they take Will Levis.
Who's starting?
Week 1?
Week 1.
Baker.
Probably Levis.
I think Baker is.
Could you imagine if Levis starts over Baker, how mad Baker
would be? Oh, Baker.
I mean, they said it's an open competition between Baker and Trask. So it's like...
It's easier to accept when you're getting a massive contract for a year.
Like, do you think like Trask can beat out Baker? I think the answer is yes.
I think there's a lot. There's a portion of people in the NFL that like Trask.
Yeah. And then I have Tyree Wilson going 6 to the Lions. The Raiders going Broderick Jones... Bijan Robinson 8 to the Falcons.
Ooh, that's early.
That's getting to be a popular pick, though.
He's the betting favorite. That's why I kind of put him
there.
Yeah,
he's the betting favorite in Atlanta right now.
I have the Bears taking Jalen Carter.
Ooh.
I have the Eagles taking Peter Skoronski.
Okay. Line help.
The Titans taking Lucas Van Ness.
Ooh.
Who's on the board now?
See, because
Jackson Smith and Jigba going 12.
That's the one where you're going to have some pushback, too, because right now the hot pick is Tennessee is... If they stay right where they're at, they're looking at wide receiver.
Yeah, I just think that Mike Vrabel goes pass rusher here. I mean, they could go wide receiver. It feels like trading away A.J. Brown and then going back-to-back receivers 2 years in a row. I don't know. I wouldn't do it.
Did you build this mock based on what you thought the team was going to do or what you would have done for the team?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Like, I just kind of – like, the Raiders one was the only one I really struggled with.
Okay.
Because I just have, like, no idea what they're going to do. And then so I have Jackson, Smith, and Jigba at 12. So the next three picks are Paris Johnson to the Jets / Packers.
Shut your mouth.
Devin Witherspoon. And then I have Quentin Johnson going to the Packers at 15.
So the Packers have Quentin Johnson, Christian Watson, and Romeo Doubs.
Yeah.
That's fun for Bryce.
So your options are JSN.
For Love, Jordan Love.
Paris Johnson, Devin Witherspoon, and Quentin Johnson for the 12th pick.
All right, lead us off, Blankers.
And who did you have them taking?
JSN, the Texans. Jackson, Smith, and Jigba.
I stand pat. I like it.
Joe's mock?
I like the fact that the Texans end up with quarterback and JSN. I love that.
Y'all like Joe's mock? 713-780-3776.
See, I think that it's, and again, it's just how we keep going through these shifts where CJ Stroud was a slam dunk for two.
CJ Stroud was the betting favorite again last night.
Was he really?
Still? Yeah.
According to who?
I think it was FanDuel. They moved him back up. Uh-oh. It was like Levis, Stroud, and Anderson were all like plus 250 to 290.
Okay.
Man.
It's all over the place.
I just think that if you can get the best receiver in the draft and you're going to get your quarterback at two, I don't think that anybody's going to kill you for that. I don't think that's a bad strategy. And I don't want offensive line, and I don't want, I could see defense, but I don't mind it at all. If JSN is the receiver at 12, then I'd be fine with it.
I don't want offensive tackle, so Paris Johnson's crossed off my list. I don't want to go corner, so Devin Witherspoon is crossed off my list. I don't want to take a receiver at 12, but I have to with Joe George's options that he's presented to us, with him selecting JSN and then the next three going Paris Johnson, Devin Witherspoon, and Quentin Johnston. So I'm between JSN and Johnston. This is where, like, early in the cycle, I would have been a no-doubt Quentin Johnston guy. I don't love that he measured 2 inches shorter at the combine. I don't love the fact that he does have, like, you know, pretty high drop rate, things like that, because I like a receiver with good hands, just like I like a quarterback who throws a good ball.
I like a kicker with good feet.
Yeah. Like an offensive lineman that can block. I like a defensive end that can get to the quarterback. So I don't love Quentin Johnston. JSN here is probably the obvious pick. I'm trying to talk myself out of it. The one hesitation I have here is John Metchie and JSN, I think, are very similar players. I think they're both better inside guys than they are outside guys. Now, why I'm still going JSN is because I think both of them are capable of also playing outside.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't you think of the two JSNs a better deep threat?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. So I think you can make it work. So because I believe you can make it work, because I believe more in talent than I do, like, overall, like, give me the scheme fit, even if it means I'm trading away some level of talent, and that Quentin Johnston was 2 inches shorter than we all thought he was. Give me Jackson, Smith, and Jigba. Give me Ohio State. Hopefully Ryan Day is your next offensive coordinator. I don't like your mock. I don't like that the Texans get C.J. Stroud and JSN, but I think most people would really like
it. What if it was Will Levis and JSN?
I don't love JSN at 12. I don't want a receiver at 12. I want a defensive end at 12, but you had Van Ness going number 11, so it kind of hurts there. So, like, who are defensive ends that were available in your mock? Probably Miles Murphy.
Yeah, Miles Murphy was there.
Miles Murphy would probably be the next defensive end on the list. How far did you have him dropping? Did you stop after 16?
15. Yeah, 15. Yeah, or 15, 16.
That makes sense. All right, yeah, give me JSN. We're all unanimous. CJ Stroud, JSN, they're Houston Texans a week from tomorrow. Do you like Joe's mock?
Is the fan base happy?
Oh, the fan base is thrilled.
Oh, like that's a huge win for the fan base.
Yeah, I think they really are.
Fan base is parading on Kirby.
Yep.
I mean, they're high-fiving. They're celebrating. They're going to get some brisket from Cal McNair and some dogs and some burgers. Everybody's having a good old time. All right, 713-780-ESPN. There's a lot of talk that Hannah McNair is calling the shots now for the Texans. She's been more involved. She's running things over at Kirby. People are celebrating this. Houston, haven't you learned your lesson? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Here's the range of our texters on your mock draft, Joe George. You want the good range or the bad range first?
Give me the bad.
All right, the bad range is 7565. Draft talk really blows.
All right, well.
Ready for the...
I kind of set the table for that. It's my bad.
Ready for the good side of the range?
Yeah.
Let him cook!
Thank you.
They love your
mock. Whoever you are.
They love Stroud. They love JSN. Joe, would you still take C.J. Stroud after what you told us during the break?
Yeah, so
Brady Quinn said that C.J. Stroud ditched the Mannings.
Yeah,
no,
so
showed him.
C.J. Stroud was supposed to be a camp counselor or whatever they call it at the Manning Passing Academy, and apparently he just no-showed.
Not a good look.
Don't take him at number two.
I don't love
the first
that.
Family of quarterbacks. You can't let them lead them on the altar.
I'm out.
Yeah, I don't love that, but we also don't probably have the full story, and it doesn't seem like Brady Quinn does either.
Lamont asked us earlier, why is Stroud falling out of favor at number two? Is it the S2 test? I imagine that some of it is. I imagine some of it is that he's not great whenever he faces pressure, talking about like pass rush.
When your receivers aren't 10 yards open?
All the country club lifestyle at Ohio State when you're the quarterback there. So all of that. And then now this. And people are saying that he's tough to coach. Like, remember that report that came out as well? Like, all that stuff isn't great. I played poker one time with Brady Quinn at the Harrah's in New Orleans. Hmm. Yeah. Better quarterback than he was a poker player.
Was it Brady Quinn's
sister
that married...
Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews? No, A.J. Hawk.
A.J. Hawk, you're right.
What's the difference?
I got my long-haired Ohio State linebacker messed up.
I thought they were the same guy. A.J. Hawk and Clay Matthews, two different people, for real? Haven't we learned our lesson about this, guys?
52, bro.
Haven't we learned our lesson about this? I'm seeing more and more people that are excited that Hannah McNair is running the Houston Texans, that she's more involved, that she's more engaged, that she... Remember Paul Gallant telling us the story of whenever they hired D'Amico Ryans and he was at the press conference and she turned around to Paul and was like, that was us or something like that? What are we doing here?
Yeah, there's also video of them walking like across the end zone and some media member chasing Cal to ask a question, and she just basically interrupted and answered for him.
She does a lot of that, cleans up a lot of Cal McNair's mess, which I'm okay with that part. I'm okay with like the PR part.
I'm trying to figure out where you're having a problem here.
I don't want Hannah McNair making football decisions.
Oh, not football
decisions. Like, people are thinking that Hannah McNair is going to force Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans' hands at number two and make the decision of what she wants. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, and Lance went on a podcast, according to Twitter, and was talking about how Hannah McNair is more involved in the organization. We've already learned our lesson of non-football people making football decisions. We just lived the Jack Easterby era, where Jack Easterby's making football decisions and is nowhere near qualified to be making football decisions. I'm fine with Hannah McNair being the face of the franchise, cleaning up Cal's messes whenever he doesn't talk all that well. Maybe he drops in a racist remark and is like, we didn't mean it that way. Like, that's fine. Like, I'm cool with Hannah McNair being Cal McNair's fixer. That's all good and dandy. But there is no reason at all we should be celebrating the notion that Hannah McNair's meddling in the Texans' head coaching hire, who the Texans are picking at number two, who the franchise is picking at number 12. We just lived through Jack Easterby, a non-football person making football decisions. Hannah McNair and Cal McNair need to be so far away from football decision-making when it comes to the Houston Texans.
I feel like that's a different discussion, because you're right that they both need to stay out of it. But I also think that Hannah McNair being involved in a lot of it, not non-football related, and even as it relates to the coaching search, having a more rational voice in the room representing ownership is a good thing. I agree with you that I don't want her making football decisions. I don't want her making the final decision from a football perspective on a head coach, but I want her to be in the room because she can ask better questions and she can get, you know, conceivably better answers from who you were interviewing than Cal just basically asking what flavor jelly they like with their peanut butter and what video games they play. I think that you've already seen a better Houston Texans organization because of some of the stuff that you mentioned, because we needed a rational thinking, intelligent voice in the room and voice at a news conference that can tell you that this organization doesn't look like it's being run by one bumbling idiot, that it's actually going to have a true direction and a true focus and an understanding of their audience and what they're trying to accomplish and who they're trying to get their message to, because Cal didn't have any of that. And I worked with a guy, several people, but I worked with one guy in particular like that, that was a loose cannon, that didn't care what people said, that was going to say whatever the hell he wanted to say. And it could go awry and run amok in a couple of seconds. And we've seen too many of that movie, including the Jack Easter move and other things, from Cal McNair. Cal is not capable on his own of doing anything to represent an NFL owner, in my opinion. The fact that he's at least intelligent enough to get help from his significant other who can save the entire franchise from a lifelong embarrassment is a good thing. And I do agree with you that she shouldn't be involved in football decisions.
I don't want Hannah McNair having a say on who the head coach is. I don't want Hannah McNair having a say on who the Texans pick at number two. I don't want Hannah McNair to have a say on who the Houston's pick, who Houston picks at number 12. We've lived this recently. We lived this with Jack Easterby, where Jack Easterby's making football decisions, and he is a team chaplain. Hannah McNair is not a football mind. Look, Hannah McNair is lovely, the face of the franchise, being the voice of the organization. That's great. That's great. That's fine and dandy. I'm totally okay with that. But if Hannah McNair is having input on who the Houston Texans take at number two, we have a serious problem on our hands.
That's Dan Snyder and otherwise different level of you have no business doing that.
But you understand the severity of that, because people are thinking Hannah McNair is going to force the Texans' hand and select who the fans want at number two. You can understand the level of severity and the level of ignorance that would be proving, is that the Houston Texans would be having the owner's wife making the pick at number two when you have a general manager. I know people are out on Nick Caserio. When you have a head coach in D'Amico Ryans, those two should be making the pick. If Hannah McNair is making the pick at number two because she wants to please the fan base and do what the fans want, then we have a massive problem on our hands.
I agree from the really nuts and bolts football decisions, like who to take in the draft. I think as it relates, as I tried to at least state, as it relates to the head coach, it's like going the difference between Sauce Gardner and Stingley. But if you're looking at it from a coaching perspective, if one has a red flag or two, or one has a concern or two of the two, I'm not sure Cal would be able to articulate and communicate and say anything about it. Whereas Hannah could at least say, guys, before we make this final, there's a voice in the room that says, from a realistic approach, consider this before you make the call or before we make the call.
I think that's too much.
I don't. I don't. I think that
she should be saying y'all should consider a player at number two.
No, like I'm not talking about players. I'm talking as it relates to coaches. Like, say if there's
coaches, I agree with you. Coaches, yeah, a little different.
That's where I'm at. I completely think that she needs to hire people that they hired people to do their job and let them do their job as it relates to the draft and player decisions. I think as it relates to the coach, that's where I would say I'd like to have a rational voice in the room from an ownership perspective, saying if you're going to represent my franchise and you've been whoever it may be, for lack of a better example, if something happened with the way Ime Udoka went through in Boston, as opposed to a guy that didn't, I would at least expect her as the voice in the room to say, can we at least consider this? And I need to hear from you guys. They are on such an even level, or one guy is so much head and shoulders above the other. That's why we're making the decision.
I just see too much of this. Hannah McNair is going to step in and do what's right for the Houston Texans. People are crediting Hannah McNair for not hiring Josh McCown.
That's when fans go completely fanatical and hope that an owner is going to listen to them. It's one thing to recognize them and appreciate them more than the Texans have, the way they've been doing. It's another thing to say, I'm listening to the fans and this is what we need to do.
I think Hannah McNair could be listening to the fans at who they want to pick at number two and take the fan favorite at number two.
I don't think that, first of all, she better not have that power.
That's what I'm scared of.
I don't think she does.
Because we've lived that, Blankers. We've lived non-football people making football decisions, and it was a disaster. If Hannah McNair is making football decisions for this organization, like some people want, the Texans, again, are going to be the laughingstock of the NFL. Can't not have this. Hiring a general manager, yeah, get the right person in place, not the most popular person. Hiring a head coach, yeah, get the most, you know, get the best player or the best coach in place, not the most popular coach. But then once those pieces are in place, you get out of the way and let them work.
The only people that are really like pushing this idea, though, are fanboys that they want CJ Stroud and they think that Hannah McNair is on their side and that they like the end result. But it's going to be the same people that if C.J. Stroud's a bust in 3 years are going to say McNair sell the team because you let Hannah McNair influence who the Texans take it to. All this is right now is lip service because Texans fans are realizing that the ones that want C.J. Stroud is that it's likely not going to happen. And there's this idea that, like, Hannah's going to come in, swoop in, and save the day. And, like, that's why people are okay with it.
Crumpler.
Right now.
Crumpler tweeted this today on the Establish the Run podcast. Lance Zierlein, who's just down the hall, spoke about the wild card in the room. He said, the wild card now, the rumors are the wife is much more involved, which I don't think it's a bad thing. They're more involved now. Now, does that extend into getting their hands in place where Nick Caseri and D'Amico Ryans are running things? I don't know if they would do that. I've heard the building is split on CJ. It's not like there's no Stroud juice there. There absolutely is. This is sounding like there is a very real possibility that the split in the room is going to have the determining factor be Hannah McNair.
But I think that's common.
That's a mistake.
But that's the mistake you make when you don't clean house. Because if CJ, Nick Caserio was someone else, then you could say this new GM has the power. But Nick Caserio is the GM. So if the split is between your GM, who could be on the hot seat, who could be out the door, who I know he says he's staying, but I don't totally believe it,
yeah,
or the new head coach, like someone's got to break that tie.
I'm okay with hers being like, hey, we just hired D'Amico. D'Amico's the voice. We're going to go with D'Amico's side of it.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that.
She shouldn't be picking based on, the fan base says C.J. Stroud. Let's pick C.J. Stroud.
I think that's the more likely scenario. You have a split in the room, and Hannah and Cal are saying, we're going to give final decision here to D'Amico.
This scares me.
See, that's what I'm saying.
This scares me.
The right kind of ownership, especially in this particular case, just basically says, I hired the right people to do the job. Let them do the job. It's not going to be the Dan Snyders and Jerry Jones of the world and Davis in Vegas jumping in and saying, nope, don't care what you think or say or do. This is what we're going to do and expect that that's how it's going to go down.
3703, Branham needs to get his own show since he doesn't let blankers talk. 6761, Branham is speculating and smearing her name. I'm not speculating. I just told you proof. I just told you proof that there's a lot of conjecture that says that Hannah McNair is starting to get a little bit more involved.
Don't you feel like, too, though, that the fans that are on board with this are the fans that are just armchair quarterbacks that just feel like this is my way of being able to make my stamp on my team and finally someone's listening? It's completely far-fetched, but fans think that way.
Lance said, the wild card now, the rumors are the wife, Hannah, is much more involved. That's Lance.
That's fine.
That's not fans.
I'm saying to your statement that when you look at the internet now and everything, this is something people are like on board with or clamoring with or hopeful is going to happen. That's because they're fanboys that just want to say that they can put their stamp. Like, they know more than the smart people they hired in the room.
Maybe so. I don't know. Totally fine with Hannah being like PR person, cleaning up Cal's mess. Zero influence on who the Texans are picking. We just lived that with Jack. We don't need to be living that with Hannah, a non-football person making football moves. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. The Killer Bees are going to get Luis Garcia back on track. We're going to take matters into our own hands. We're going to will Luis Garcia to a good performance tonight against the Blue Jays. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joe George is sounding like Jeff Luno, not accepting accountability for his own
whiny
mistakes.
Baby.
We're getting Luis Garcia back on track.
This is not my fault.
Luis Garcia's made, what, 3 starts so far this season? How many times have we played Luis Garcia's music before his start?
Bro.
This is the first time that Luis Garcia's had his music played. Garcia tonight's going to spin a quality start. We're getting Luis Garcia back on track.
Does he get a win?
Maybe.
Yeah, he does.
And if he does, it means we don't have to worry about Will Levis ever again.
I mean, Berrios is garbage.
Will Levis is going to be a topic of conversation on this show no matter where he goes until he is done from the NFL, quite frankly. Is it not true?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's a topic of conversation on this show for literally the existence of his career. He's got to be.
Because if he's not a Texan, he's most likely going to be in the AFC South.
Not the existence of this show. I mean, he may crash and burn in a year or two and be done with.
We said the lifetime of his career.
Right. A year or two.
Okay, that's a hot take. You think Will Levis is going to be... Joel Blank thinks that Will Levis is going to crash and burn and be headlines! Out of the NFL in 2 years.
Bad take Boulevard bracket.
You here just made go. The list. I guess we don't know yet. We don't really know.
We don't.
But Will Levis, Luis Garcia is going to get back on track tonight. That 7.71 ERA is all because of Joe George. It's all because he has not played the Luis Garcia music.
Yep, my
That's going to change.
Oh, now you're That's owning it. Change. Now it's your fault.
It's not my fault. I'm just going to play along.
Tomorrow it's Hunter Brown on the mound. Are we good with Motorhead, the game?
Because he's mini JV?
Yeah.
I feel like you can't do that. I think you
can change it. I think it has to
be. We never had a Hunter Brown one.
Watch me bring this all full circle. I think it has to be a spinoff.
It's kind of a spinoff, isn't it?
No, but you have to change it. You find something similar.
Is it not similar? The game and Motorhead, Ace of Spades? Isn't that similar?
Oh, no, that's right. I was thinking it was the same song. No, he's right.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know what you guys
used. What are we doing here?
No, I think that's spot on.
You guys haven't given me a list of what I'm supposed to play.
We never had a Hunter Brown one.
So you had a JV one.
We had a JV one, which was Motorhead, Ace of Spades.
Yep. And now we're doing
Motorhead, the game.
Okay.
Did I work with everybody?
That works.
I texted Brendan Riley for the first time since we fired him from the Killer Bees.
Yep.
You were right. We never had one for Javier for whatever reason.
Thank you very much.
So we're going to have to...
My fault.
Should I tweet this again? The truth will set you free. I did that while I was on vacation.
Did you really?
Yeah.
About what?
About the Rafael Stone stuff.
Oh, well done.
Thank you
very
much.
My friend. Yeah, you were right about the Javier thing. I have no idea why we didn't make a song for Javier, but we didn't make a song for Javier, or we didn't pick a song for Javier. So that's got to change, and it will change when Javier's next turn through the rotation is. But we're getting Luis Garcia back on track. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Alan wants to talk about the McNairs. Alan, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Alan?
Yes, sir. Hey, enjoy your show. You're talking about you don't want Miss McNair to pick your players, but she can't be no worse than Bill O'Brien. And I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, it could.
That's a low bar, though. Like, do we want Hannah McNair picking the players because she's better than Bill O'Brien? No. Like, the answer is still no.
I have too much I could say there, but at least Bill was experienced, I will say, in football, even though he made really awful picks. Now imagine someone that isn't experienced in football making those picks.
If Hannah McNair is making the picks for the Texans, and obviously she's not making all of them. She's not going to make the third round pick. That's too little for her. But if she's making the pick at number two because of fan popularity, that is a dangerous slope. That is
but I would like to give her the benefit of the doubt and the credit for saying she will get she will find someone to consult with on areas that she might be not so well versed in.
Who do you think that is?
I think that J.J. Watt comes to mind.
Do we want J.J. Watt making the pick at number two?
No, but at least giving her the advice, the consultation. I think that there's enough people that have come through this organization, Gary Kubiak. I think there's enough people that are trusted friends of the McNairs that have had, that are capable of at least giving an educated football opinion on football matters.
Okay. All right. Just saying. Gotta worry about it. Pan is the one calling the shots at number two. I am concerned. Like, we got to learn from our mistakes, Houston. We got to learn from Jack Easterby meddling. We got to learn from Hannah McNair's meddling.
I don't think they're meddling. I think they're going to be the tiebreaker, though, in terms of just deciding which side, like, who's making the
like
final
who to
call.
Make the decision, making the decision.
If it's D'Amico versus Nick, they're making the decision of this is D'Amico's call of who we're taking it to. Like, I don't think they're saying that we're taking Stroud to appease the fan base. Mm-hmm. I think it's more likely that if the room is split, someone's got to break the tiebreaker.
Somebody's got to be the grown-up in the room.
Yeah, and like I think that's what a good owner does.
I'd like to have a conversation about that. I'm of a certain age. I think I'm the grown-up in the room.
Let's assume that that's what this is about, that Hannah is going to pick the sides. We're all okay if Hannah picks the D'Amico side, right?
That's what they're going to pick.
Are you okay if they
on pick both sides of the ball?
I think for the number two pick that they're going to let, if it's a Caserio faction versus an Anderson faction, versus a D'Amico Ryan's faction, they're going to side with D'Amico.
What if it's the other way, though? What if it's Caserio that wants the quarterback and it's D'Amico that wants the defensive player and
That's what he said.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, why they're going to take Will Anderson is because they're going to side with D'Amico.
What I was getting to is another hypothetical, though. Let's use that those are the you know, positions of power. Those are the authority figures that want their player. D'Amico Ryans wants Anderson.
Defense, right?
And Nick Caserio wants quarterback. He wants C.J. Stroud. if Hannah McNair goes into that room, like, the obvious answer is we're going to support the new head coach that we just gave a six-year deal to, and he's the new face of our organization. Hannah McNair goes in there and goes, okay, this C.J. Stroud guy is more popular with the city. He's going to sell more jerseys. He's going to sell more season tickets. We're going to side with Nick Caserio and go with the popular pick, C.J. Stroud. That's where I'm telling you there is a problem. There is an issue with the Houston Texans' dynamic.
The problem is that there's no way to know that it goes to that extent.
There's not.
And we won't know until Nick Caserio gets fired or D'Amico Ryans gets fired one day. And then it's like, that's when all the stories and all the details come out.
I'm just saying. Hesitate before we celebrate Hannah McNair saving this franchise. Because if she is the one deciding the tie and she is the one going C.J. Stroud, the city celebrates in the moment. But what if C.J. Stroud is this dude that ghosts the Mannings and is hard to coach and is going to turn out to be a bust? And Will Anderson's a guy that's getting double-digit sacks every year. D'Amico Ryans was right. Dangerous. Dangerous, dangerous place to be as an organization.
I want a T-shirt for Branham that says, hesitate before we celebrate.
You got to hesitate before you celebrate.
There you go. What's coming up on the wheelhouse?
I ask you that.
But I beat you to it.
They'll go football first. They'll probably talk Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance is probably the lead story on the wheelhouse today. What do you think?
The comments from the Panthers general manager?
He said everybody by name but Richardson?
Also talking about that it's still not like set in stone that they're taking Bryce.
Well, Cody still thinks that the Texans are going to get Bryce at two.
Well, so there you go. Answered the question.
I think Trey Lance is the lead.
I think Trey Lance will be the lead.
Okay.
You're tuning in to the wheelhouse. 3 until at least 3:15. But we encourage you to listen 3 till 7. All right, thanks, Joe George, for doing all of the hard work. He's blank on Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.